This verse makes it clear that if a person faints in the day of trouble, their capacity to deal with the situation is very limited. Adversity is a true test of one's spiritual stamina and strength. The word faint means to be weak or feeble. Feebleness in the day of adversity is an indication that the individual is not deeply rooted in the Lord.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series of messages from the book of Proverbs. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of how to handle your problems.
Today, we're going to be talking about how we can handle our problems, overcoming adversity. You know, I don't know about you, but the average person that I run into has some kind of problems. And we all have issues. We all have problems that we are dealing with. And so today, we want to help you. We want to give you some help and show you that whenever problems come your way, how to handle them. You know, we don't have to let problems overtake us. I was talking to a person one time, and I asked them how they were doing. And they said, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. And I said, well, what you doing under the circumstances? You need to get on top of the circumstances. Amen. So that's what we want to talk about, how to get on top of the circumstances today. How do you overcome adversity in your life? It's Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Proverbs 20. I'm still thinking back before, you know. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. Psalms 20. No, I'm just kidding. Proverbs 24, all right, Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, how it is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And so, Lord, we ask today that you would just use this word to help us. Lord, that this would be a sermon that we would tuck away in the recesses of our heart. And Lord, even the notes that we take today, that we might put them in a special place to be able to not only pull them out for our own recollection, but Lord, that we might pull them out to help somebody else that's going through problems. And so as we come to your word today, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. It's good to see. I heard that Sister Evelina is back with us. Amen. 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 It's been a long time, sister. Good to have you back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Worshiping with the saints of God. All right. If you look at your notes today, let's give a little background to Proverbs 24. And we see that Proverbs chapter 24 is housed within the second section of the saying of the wise. Now, last week I did a brief introduction. I'll probably go over the introduction again next week. But when we break the book of Proverbs down, we see that there is the introduction, and then there are the Proverbs of Solomon, and they are in two sections. And then after the Proverbs of Solomon, we see two more sections with the sayings of the wise. And then we see that a chapter was written by Agar, and then one by King Lemuel. So that's the breakdown of Proverbs. So we see that chapter 24 falls within the confines of the second set of sayings of the wise. So this chapter consists of several independent proverbs, and they all address various subjects. That's one thing about the book of Proverbs. When you read it, sometimes it's not like you're reading a consistent flow. But, you know, sometimes the Proverbs are just interjected. And so we see this is one of those chapters where he just kind of interjects several different topics. And so we see that he begins in verses 1 and 2 by talking about the wicked. And he also says something about the wicked in verse 8 and then 15 through 22. In verses 3 through 7, verse 13, and verses 23 through 26, he talks about wisdom and what it means to have wisdom. In verse 9, he talks about foolishness. Verse 10 is what we're looking at today. He talks about adversity. In 11 and 12, he talks about good deeds. And then in verse 27, he talks about being prepared, preparation. Then in 28 and 29, he talks about deception. And then he closes off this particular chapter talking about the sluggard in verses 30 through 34. So again, you know, we are in that second set of sayings of the wise. Now, one of the key words that we need to understand in this verse, he says that if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So we want to understand this word strength. You know, what does this word strength mean? And as I looked it up, I went to several Hebrew lexicons, you know, where you go back and you look at the etymology of a word. And so I studied it out, and almost unanimously, this word strength that's used here in verse 10 is talking about the ability to cope with troubling situations. The ability to cope with troubling situations. So when the day of adversity, when it comes in your life, that if you have a difficult time dealing or coping with those situations, then what he's saying is your strength is small. All right, your strength is small. Now, when are times when your strength is small? Here goes a couple. Let me just, now again, this list is not exhaustive by any means. These are just some things that I threw together as I was meditating over this message. When you are wronged and you want to get even, your strength is small. Your strength is small. When you are sick and become overwhelmed with anxiety. Now, again, we can't help being sick, and sometimes we can't help, you know, being concerned about sickness. But when we become overwhelmed with anxiety, that's not God's will when you go through sickness to be overwhelmed with anxiety. And so at that point, your strength is small. When your circumstances change for the worse and you just begin to complain, then your strength is small. And when people get on your last nerve, your last nerve, your strength is small. Now, you know, I thought that I would give you an illustration of how this is carried out. Okay, so as Dr. Jones said, last night I went down and I did the chapel service for the Kansas City Chiefs. So go ahead and boo. All y'all that want to boo, get it out. All right. So I had to be there at 6:30, and I left my house at 5 o'clock, knowing that that would give me plenty of time to get down there, find parking. So I'm going down the parkway, and right at the beginning of Business 22, traffic was backed up. And I said, oh, man. Now, I don't know. That's a long time from Business 22 to the Squirrel Hill Tunnel to be backed up. So, I decided to go an alternate route. And I came down through Homewood, and as I was coming through Homewood, there was a temptation to go down some wrong streets. So you gotta say, now if I go down this wrong street, because what? I'm in panic mode, I'm in what? I'm in rush mode. If I make a turn down this wrong street, then my strength is small. That my ability to cope with the situation is small because now I'm getting ready to do something that's wrong. All right? So I'm coming to some lights that were red and there was nobody coming the other way. And I'm sitting there thinking, I can go through this and nobody will know it,
But see, that's not a good ability to cope with the situation. So had I gone through, my strength would have been small. All right? I come out on Penn Avenue. Traffic was thick. I'm edging in, hoping that somebody will break and let me in. I'll confess that my car was out there a little bit because I'm hoping that somebody will have mercy on a brother and stop and let me in. So the one guy looked like he was going to stop and let me in, so I pulled out a little bit, but he didn't stop. And he kept coming, and I stopped. And he stopped right in front of me. And he started going into some gyrations and some gestures, and I sat there, and I said, now, Bill Glaze, back in the day, as a matter of fact, there was nobody coming after him. You know, they had stopped to let me in. And something, see, I'm going to show you how the devil works. The devil said, just follow him for a little while. And God said, look, man, you need to get to where you're going. And so I said, you know, had I done that, my strength would have been small. And so adversity comes in different ways, even when we're running late. That's an adverse situation. And if we don't know how to cope with that adversity, then our strength is small. And so we want to talk about, you know, how can we deal with situations like that? Now, a lot of times God allows adversity to come into our lives. And the reason, now, you know, let me say this, that sometimes we end up in adversity and it's our own fault. Okay, and so, you know, we don't want to blame everything on God. But sometimes when adversity comes, it's because of our own knuckleheadedness. And so we need to come to that realization and not need to put ourselves in positions where, you know, we are going to allow adversity to come in our life. Now, there's some adversity that cannot be put off. There's some adversity that you can't stop. But there's some things that you can't control. So you need to know which things are that you can control, and then don't allow those to become adverse situations. But then there's some things that you can. And so sometimes God allows adversity to come into our life. And when he allows it to come in, there are five reasons. And this is not original with me. I found this in my notes from the past. So I just thought that this was good to throw in here. So I'm not sure who the source of this is. But, you know, it sounds like me. So I could have took credit for it. But I'm not, because it's not me. God allows adversity to direct you in the right way. That sometimes you might be going down a path that God don't want you to go down. And so God will bring adversity to redirect you, all right? Sometimes, and we're going to look at this in one of the points this morning, is to inspect. God allows adversity to come into your life so that you can see where you are. Sometimes you think you're a lot further down the road than you really are. And so God will bring some trouble. He'll bring some adversity in your life to show you where you really are, to correct. If you're doing something that's wrong, God will allow adversity to come into your life to correct you. And then sometimes he allows it to come to protect you. That you, if you had your own way and you did your own thing, you know, you would end up in trouble, or you would end up hurt. And God brings problems, he brings trouble in your life so that you would be protected. And then sometimes he brings adversity in our life to perfect us, to conform us to the will and to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So these are a couple of things that God does in order to get us to be redirected, to be inspected, to be corrected, protected, and perfected. All right, so now let's break this verse down. Let's unpack this verse. First of all, we see the observation. He says that if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So what he's doing here, he's making an assumption. And the assumption is that adversity will eventually come your way. Nobody is immune to adversity. From the smallest to the greatest, the poorest to the richest, the youngest to the oldest, we are all susceptible to adversity. Now, I've said this from this pulpit on many occasions, and that is, you're either in a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. I don't care where you are right now as you sit in the pew. You're in one of those three situations. Somebody said, I'm in it right now. It's all up on me. So the fact of the matter is that adversity is coming your way. That one day, there's going to be a knock on your door. One day, there's going to be a ringing of your phone. One day, you're going to get an email with some bad news. And adversity is going to be thrust upon your lap. And so you need to come to the conclusion, you need to come to grips with the fact that adversity is coming your way. You know, sometimes you can be sitting up in the church service and something bad is happening outside of this service. And when you get out, and some people have even got messages in the service about something adverse that happens. And so it's coming. Saints, don't. And what does the scripture say? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that come upon you. So the first thing that we need to realize is that it's coming. You know, I give an illustration at funerals, and I talk about a man who in his younger years, he made a deal with death. And he told death, if you just let me know when you're coming, I'll be ready for you. And so death said, cool, okay, well, you know, that sounds good. So as the years went on and the man aged, and one day he was up in his elderly years, sitting by the fireplace on a cold winter night, and all of a sudden he heard a knock at the door, and it was death. And death said, I'm coming to get you. He said, but I thought you was going to give me some warning. He said, I thought you was going to let me know. He said, I did. I turned your hair gray and you dyed it. Your hearing started to go bad. You got a hearing aid. You know, your sight went bad and you got glasses. Your legs started to get feeble and, you know, you got crutches and walkers to hold you up. He said, I let you know I was coming. You just disregarded the signs. And so we might want to skip through the tulips and think that our life is going to be a flowery bed of roses. But my brothers and sisters, that's not the case. Just like death was inevitable for that individual, adversity is inevitable for all of us. And so that's the first thing that the writer of Proverbs says, the observation, the day of adversity will come for everyone. The second thing that he brings out in this particular passage is that the revelation, the true test of one's strength is adversity. The true test of your strength is adversity. Notice what he says again, Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. Adversity tests your character. Adversity tests what's inside of you. If you look at your notes, we see that the word strength represents one's ability to cope with troubling situations, as we have already pointed out. This verse makes it clear that if a person faints in the day of trouble, their capacity to deal with the situation is very limited. Adversity is a true test of one's spiritual stamina and strength. The word faint means to be weak or feeble. Feebleness in the day of adversity is an indication that the individual is not deeply rooted in the Lord. That if you faint in the day of adversity, that's a pretty good indication that your roots are not going deep in the Lord. We read in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That when you are rooted and grounded in the word of God, and you are rooted and grounded in a relationship with God, that your roots go deep. They go deep into the ground so that in season you can bear fruit. When things are going great, I mean when things are going, as they would say, peachy keen, you still bearing fruit. But then out of season, What is out of season? That's the fall and the winter. And sometimes, you know, we as we look at the vegetation life, they don't necessarily bear fruit in the fall and the winter. But God says that, the blessed individual. The blessed individual that's planted by the river of God that he draws from a relationship with God. And he brings forth fruit in season and out of season. We've all heard that if you take a sponge and you dip that sponge in orange juice and you squeeze it, orange juice is going to come out. If you take that sponge and you dip it in water and you squeeze it, then water is going to come out. Whatever you dip the sponge in, that's what's going to come out when it's squeezed. Likewise, the child of God, whatever the child of God is dipped in, when adversity comes and you're squeezed, that's what's going to come out of you. If you've been dipped in a bunch of ungodliness and a bunch of hedonistic activities and a bunch of gossip and idleness, then guess what happens when you get squeezed? All that junk, all that mess is going to come out of you. But if you've been dipped in the word of God, if you've been dipped in prayer, if you've been dipped in singing the songs of Zion, if you've been dipped in fellowshipping with the saints, if you've been dipped in coming to the house of worship, when you are squeezed, guess what's going to come out? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Adversity is a test of what is in you. What is in you? A couple of weeks ago, after the missions conference, some of us were coming up on the elevator. And as we came up on the elevator, I heard this shh, and the elevator wasn't moving. Then all of a sudden, this wretched smell began to come up into the elevator. And then it wasn't bad, but a little mist, a little smoke began to start coming up. So now we on this elevator, right? Now I was looking, a couple people, they just was quiet. Now, you know, some people are claustrophobic, right? So, you know, there might have been some claustrophobic people on there, but they was quiet. And, you know, a couple people was, you know, talking and, you know, trying to encourage other people, lift their spirits up. And I said, okay, nothing. I'm not trying to scare anybody, right? Now, I'm really not trying to scare anybody. But just think of all the bad things that can happen on the elevator. I mean, really think about it. Now, you standing there with this elevator stop, right? And all these things start coming through you to your mind, right? So I said, Saints, let's pray. Let's pray. And we prayed. All right. Then I said, let's sing. Let's sing a song. Let's sing This Is the Day. This is the day. You know, we started singing. Man, we was having a good time. And then all of a sudden there was a knock on the door. I think it was Deacon Booker. He said, is anybody in there? We said, yeah, we're in there. Call the fire department. And we just worshiped the Lord. And before we knew it, the firemen were knocking at the door, and they were out there for a little bit, and finally they got the door open. And I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I was never so glad in my life to get off an elevator. I was never so glad in my life to get off an elevator. And, you know, we came up, and they had ran everybody out of the building.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Handle Your Problems. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How to Handle Your Problems, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Handle Your Problems. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Handle Your Problems, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.